May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing to you, O God, our Redeemer and Savior. Amen. Please be seated. So last week in our gospel lesson, we heard the story of God as the vine grower. God is the one who cares for Jesus and cares for us. God is the one who removes the dead branches and prunes them so that things are healthy, so that they may yield more, or so that we are healthy and may yield more. There was one rule that was given to us, which is that we were to abide in God and abide in Jesus. And it was set up that this is something that was achievable for all. For everyone, this was that all are welcome moment. Wasn't based on gender or age or race or who you love or anything like that. All were invited to be pruned and grow in God. And that's what God was asking us to do. Grow in all of us to grow, and then all of us to reach out to others to show them as well all the light that was there. Now, this lesson is continued on today, and we hear pieces of it both in the gospel and in Acts, where Peter is preaching and says, "The Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word." I bring this up because the piece that is important about all of that for me that I mentioned is the whole idea that everyone has access, everyone is welcome. Everyone gets to be a part of this world that God is setting up. So when the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word, that meant that all who heard were welcomed and empowered and worthy of baptism and receiving God's wisdom. And this call, this invitation, this act was something that was deeply countercultural. This was given in a time when there was much division, when there were people going at each other, whether for religious or political reasons. This is a time when there was a huge, deep divide between those who were Gentiles and those who were Jewish. And it was such a big idea that we heard the whole all are welcome piece be emphasized when we were told and clarified that even the circumcised could be a part of it. That is, that group, which was the other from which he was speaking, could also be a part of everything. So last week, God makes it clear that we need to grow in our gifts and our grace. And Acts today gives us an example of what it means to be open to all or inclusive of all. And this week also, the gospel then continues that. The gospel says, here is a command that I have for you, and doesn't necessarily stop there, because sometimes we do get that, go be good, and then we move on to the next thing. But here, we get a little bit more. So we get enough to say how and why. Jesus says, this is my commandment, love one another as I love you. Love one another as I love you. This is what Jesus tells us to do and how Jesus tells us to be. I think in that command, we are issued in that moment an opportunity to understand as people of faith the sense that we have both rights and responsibilities. The rights are things like God loves us and God will always love us. The rights are things like there is grace when we screw up, and I'm going to guess most of us make mistakes sometimes, occasionally, anyway. There is all of God's kingdom available to all of us. Those are the rights. But the responsibilities part, that's the part of we're not supposed to keep that to ourselves. And that, in fact, if we do, then we kind of wither and die because we are not sharing as we are called to share. We're constantly being pruned and made to grow and to love and to abide in those rights means that our responsibility is that we don't stop with just that. We must then go and feed and grow and share. Now, this is not, though, just what was said last week, that we are to abide in Jesus. Rather, so last week was the first half, and in that we heard all of that, abide, abide, abide. We said it like 26 times, and by the end of it, I was not sure what abide meant anymore. But we heard it over and over and over again, and we get it again today. Abide, abide, abide. But not just abiding in God, and this time we're supposed to abide in the love of Jesus. And that is an important distinction. I was reading some work by Caroline Lewis, who is a professor at Luther Seminary in Minneapolis, and she's a John scholar. This is what she loves to look at and work on and whatnot. And she's talking about how there's a pattern in John. Now, you may have noticed with John, a little repetitive. We hear pieces over and over and over again. And she's talking about how there is a lot of repetition. And it may seem like it's just a double down or kind of a reinforcing, like, take out the trash. No, for real, take out the trash. Yeah. But instead, she says that there's more than that. There's more than what's going on. We don't just say, oh, abide, 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 last week and this week, abide. Instead, we realize that there's a difference between abiding in Jesus and abiding in the love of Jesus. What we're hearing this week is not just a repetition, it's a call to go a little bit deeper, to dig a little bit deeper, to actually act and be a little bit more. We know that love is needed in this world. We know that we need love, that we grow and thrive in it. The people around us do as well. We have a beautiful baby in the front here, and if that baby doesn't ever get any love, then they're just going to scream a lot. Nobody wants that. They might scream anyway, but you know, it's okay. She's like the quietest baby ever. So, babies need love, and grown-ups need love, and everyone does. This is a fact that is said over and over again. This is a statement that is said over and over again in the Bible, and it's a promise over and over again that God gives to God's people. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And in this moment, Jesus is saying, I love you, now it's your turn. Go and do what I have done. I look at this and I think about this word abide, which I said kind of loses its meaning after 26 times, and see that abiding to me almost feels like a passive state, one in which we're resting on our laurels. Maybe we walk with or sit in Jesus's life, but when we have to not just abide, but go forward and share that, then we're hearing a call to action. And we have examples of what that looks like, right? We have moments in the Gospels where Jesus is loving completely and fully his people around him. We have moments where God loves us as we are, with all of our mistakes and with all of our triumphs. We have times when Jesus opens his arms and says, all are welcome to come here. We see real and tactile ways, such as the foot washing that happens on what we now celebrate as Maundy Thursday, where Jesus sits down and says, I love you so much that I'm going to reciprocate that which would be done perhaps by you to me in a normal setting. There's very intentional work that is done. Now for us, the question is, how do we do that for others? Because we're certainly not going to necessarily live and die just as Jesus did. When we think about how we do it for others, there are lots of different groups of folks, right? And it's easy to think about how we love those that we choose, those that we are, our families, our friends, the people we want to have around us. The trick, the hard part, I think, comes when we are also then called to love the other person. At the ordination of the new bishop yesterday, the preacher included a quote by Father William McNamara, and he said, contemplation is the long, loving look at the real. Contemplation is the long, loving look at the real. The way I hear that is that we need to, before we go out and love people, spend a little time thinking about how to love them, who they are, and where they are, and how they are. That's our contemplation piece of it, so that then we can go out and do what needs to be done. Because sometimes, whether it's someone that we love already or someone that is the other, we're going to experience a moment of sacrifice, some time of discomfort. We're going to have to make real and intentional, tactile choices and actions, and they may not always be what we want to do in that exact moment. We are, in this moment, or in this time, then being called to assume our responsibilities as people of faith who know a loving God, and to assume them with our hearts, our minds, and our souls. So my invitation to you this week is to think about how you might do that. How do you share the love that Jesus has given to you? Do you lay down your life for somebody? Do you publicly pray somewhere? Do you hold the hand of somebody who is in need? The 8 o'clock service, I suggested that Haley was just crying and crying and crying, and I had a choice. She was not, but let's pretend she was. I had a choice to either go and comfort her, or I could just walk away, because that's more easier, right? That's an easier thing to do. We're to call to go and hold her hand, or sit next to her, or whatever it is that needs to be happened. Jesus loves us completely and without judgment, and as such, we are called to do the same. It's important that we reflect on what prevents us from doing that sometimes, especially with the others. There's a therapy technique called opposite action from dialectical behavior therapy, and this is where people are intentionally called to reflect on what they want to do and do the opposite, because the opposite is the healthy choice, perhaps. So let's give an example of a simple one. I really, really want to go home and eat that whole Ben & Jerry's that's in my fridge. I'm going to do an opposite action and lay down because I'm tired already, even though it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. And the opposite action is I'm going to go for a walk. Now, this is used in a much more serious and deep way, but we do it all the time in little ways. Like, oh, I don't know that I want to go talk to that person because they're of the other political party and they're just going to spout news from that radical left or right wing, whatever. But then we say, no, we need to be, because this is what we're called to do, to love and to be in community with one another. We're choosing the opposite of our desire to go away and choosing then to live into Jesus's call. So reflect on how you might be called to do that, to do the part that the loving that is easy and the loving that is hard, the loving that you want to do and is natural and the loving that is not. That is our call in this world today. Because after we do that reflection, we are then called to consciously choose to act in love as Jesus loves us and to love completely. And in doing so, as our lessons say, our joy will become complete. Amen.